I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm glad you're here tonight. Thank you for deciding to honor the Lord Jesus Christ tonight instead of television or something else, and thank you for coming. Thank you. Let me encourage you. Invite somebody tomorrow. Do everything you can to get them here in this revival to hear the Word of God. Look in your Bible tonight. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians, chapter number 5. It's my privilege over the years to hear some great, great preachers. I really have been. I started Bible college in 1960. And there were still men around that were part of a great revival this nation had in the 40s and 50s. I mean, during revival in those days, every night hundreds of people got saved. And I was privileged to know some of those men, and they were tremendous men of God, great preachers of the Word of God. Perhaps my favorite was a man named Fred Brown. Fred Brown often preached on the subject, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Here's what he said, is what the church needs the most and misses the least. So you walk in a church building in the wintertime and there's no heat. Somebody get disturbed. Yeah. You walk into a church, the offerings placed are passed, they come back empty. Somebody get upset. You think, yes, churches, thank God, not this church. But churches go weeks and weeks, nobody gets saved, nobody comes the aisle, but they're satisfied. The great need of every preacher, every Christian, every church is the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Think with me, the early church had nothing, I mean nothing. Number one, they had no money. It had to be a Baptist church, so they had no money. Peter said, silver and gold have we none. Number two, they had no upper echelon people. Their enemies made fun of them. They said, are not all these guys a bunch of Galileans? In Bible times, you're a Galilean. You're a country bumpkin. That's all there was to it. They had no money. They had no great people. They had no building, none. Yet they shook the world for God. How? The book of Acts tells you. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Read your Bible tonight, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Sing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Years ago, a woman was on her front porch, looked out and saw two cars collide. Blood was flowing down the street. This young woman graduated from some 18 different Red Cross courses. She ran out in the street, looked around. She remembered something she was taught in those classes. If she sat down, put her head between her knees, and breathed real deep, she would not faint. I'm afraid that's a little picture of the Church of Jesus Christ. We're so concerned about ourselves, we have no time, no effort. We won't go out of our way to help a lost and dying world. The filling of the Holy Spirit gives you that desire and gives you that power to serve Jesus Christ. Three things. Number one, first of all, a Spirit-filled Christian, he can function in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Functioning is what? Daily living. See, the key to victorious Christian living is what? The Holy Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine or success, but be filled with the Spirit. Open your Bible. Look at verse number 18. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what happens when a Christian is Spirit-filled? It affects two areas of his life. Number one, first of all, verse 19. He has an inward happiness. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Stop. God is no liar, friend. Five times, God said, a Spirit-filled Christian is not wretched, not miserable, not bored. Five times, God that cannot lie said, a Spirit-filled Christian has an inward happiness. Believe it. Chinese Christians say, boy, if I dedicate my life to God, I'll be miserable. Boy, if I dedicate my life to God, I'll never be happy. Boy, if I dedicate my life to God, when I get old, I won't have any smile on it. You believe the devil's lie. The Bible says a spirit-filled Christian has an inward happiness. Bible, they're filled with the Holy Ghost, worship worthy, and not just joy, great joy. A happy Christian is one spirit-filled. Why? Because he's living and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, my friend, but if Christian spirit-filled, he has an inward happiness. Number two, he has a tremendous attitude. Look in your Bible, verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not griping, complaining, bellyaching, criticizing. What are you doing? He is giving thanks. A spirit-filled Christian, man, it'll change your attitude, change your home with that attitude. Yeah. Now wait, when the Bible talks about quenching the spirit, oh, there's a long list of things. You know what? It doesn't mention great big sins. What does he mention? Sins of attitude that quench the Holy Spirit of God. But thank God a spirit-filled Christian has an inward happiness. He's got a tremendous attitude. Understand that, please. And God will help us in our daily living. Turn your Bible, please, to Romans chapter 7. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Romans chapter 7. I want you to turn there. A great Bible example how the filling of the Holy Spirit will help you to live for Christ. Romans chapter 7. When you found that, look up this way. If you have trouble finding Romans chapter 7, I want to help you. It's right after Romans chapter 6, okay? So when you get there, you're getting close. Amen. Romans chapter 7. Here we find the Apostle Paul. Are you ready for a shock? Paul is away from God. Yeah. He's backslidden. Yeah. If it could happen to Paul, it can happen to you and I, friend. Read your Bible, Romans chapter 7, verse 15, what Paul said, for that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, what I hate, that do I. Here's what Paul said, hey, the good things I want to do for God, I don't do, evil things I don't want to do, that's exactly what I do. Understand, friend, there's not a new convert, here's the greatest Christian ever lived, saying, in my power, I can't live for God. Read your Bible again. Is so strong, he repeats it word for word in your Bible. Verse number 19. For the good that I would, I do not. Evil which I would not, that I do. Come on, what force is there? He repeats it. He said, there's my situation. He said, the good things I want to do for God don't get done. Or reading my Bible, can't find time. Want to pray, something comes up. Want to witness, I become a coward. Then he said this, the evil things I don't want to do, that's exactly what I do. The attitude I hate in others, oh my, I find in my heart. The words I don't want to say, harsh words, come out of my mouth. Oh, here's the great Apostle Paul. Now, is there an answer? Is there an answer? Thank God there is an answer. Look at your Bible. Look down at verse number 24. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Stop right there. A backslidden Christian cannot be happy. Understand that. He's wretched. You see, I don't care what you have. You cannot be happy if you're away from God. Great Bible example, Daniel. Number one, Daniel had position. He was king. Number two, not only was he king, David was wealthy. When they built the temple, he gave, I'm trying to remember, when they built the temple, I think David gave $85 million toward the building of that temple. David is wealthy. He's the Bill Gates, the Warren Buffett of Bible Times. So here's a guy. Number one, he's wealthy. Number two, he has a great position. Number three, watch it. He's living in sin with Bathsheba. Your Bible says, physically, she was a beautiful woman. And number four, David was popular. Here's a guy just walks down the street. All the women come out and sing songs to him. Never happened to me, buddy. I'll tell you that right now. No, I know it happened to you. Yeah. No, anyway, put it together. What else could David have? Huh? King? Is he popular? Multi-billionaire? He's a Christian. But David cries out and says, my sin is ever before me. He said, God, I lost something. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Every backslider said this. If I get a better job, I'll be happy. I go out and sit on you. You won't. If you're really saved, you'll never be happy. Can you come on back and humble yourself and get right with God? Open your Bible now again at verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Here's the key. Who, W-H-O, shall deliver me from the body of this death? Here's what Paul said. I need some help. I'm a great warrior. I can kill giants. I can lead armies. But I can't control myself. Who can make you the Christian you want to be? Look in your Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Last word is Spirit. Verse number 2. For the law of the Spirit. Look down, please. Verse number 4. The final word is Spirit. Verse number 5. It's so important. Two times in one verse, Paul mentions the Holy Spirit. Look in your Bible again. Verse number 9. This twice more in verse 9. Excuse me. Three times in verse 9, he mentions the Holy Spirit. Verse number 10. The Spirit is life. Verse number 11. Twice more in verse 11, he mentions the Holy Ghost. Verse number 13. Ye through the Spirit do mortify, that means kill, trample on the deeds of the flesh. Look in your Bible again. Verse 14. Measure led by the Spirit. Verse 15. You have received the Spirit. Paul said, how can I live for God? How can I serve God? Watch it. 15 times the next chapter, Paul said, on my own I can't do it. Thank God, glory to God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can be everything that Jesus Christ wants me to be. Bible, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The key to Christian living is what? The filling of the Holy Spirit of God. When I was in grade school, I got in the sixth grade. I think I was 21. When I was in the sixth grade, I've been in grade school. Halfway, there was a kid in the sixth grade. Ronnie Norris, okay, never forget him. Ronnie Norris was not exactly a genius. Ronnie Norris was 14 years old in the third grade in the public school. Therefore, he was bigger than the rest of us, tougher than the rest of us. And like your pastor, Ronnie Norris was a great big bully. Now, I used to walk to school. I don't remember how far. I think it was about 21 miles. Anyway, yeah, you've heard those stories. Yeah, every kid, yeah. When I was your age, I walked 22 miles one way to school, uphill both ways. Yeah, no, this is true. When I was in grade school, here was the law. You live inside the city limits, no matter how far you walk. I live one half block from the city limits. Every day, I walk to school. After school, people, wherever I go, brother, people ask me, why are you in such fantastic shape? I want to tell them. I made up my mind once I got out of school, I was never walking anywhere. I'm driving, buddy. That's why I'm in the shape I'm in today. Anyway, Ronnie Norris, when I go home from school, I went by the loveliest house in Macomb, Illinois, a big hedge around him. I'd come walking by, and Ronnie Norris would attack me. He'd ambush me. One time he tore my clothes. One time he pulled out some hair. One time Ronnie Norris had me down, had a knee on each arm, I'm helpless. He's slapping me, hitting me. Lady owned that house, saw what's happening. She come out, she said, is he hurting you? Now, Ronnie wasn't as dumb as you might think. Ronnie said, no, ma'am, I'm teaching you how to fight. She said, every boy ought to know how to fight. And Bozo goes back in the house, and I'm getting beat up, okay? I hated going, halfway through the school year, Jerry Ogden showed up. For a grade school kid, he was huge. Finished growing, he was 6'7". He played semi-pro basketball. He was big for his age. Now, he moved about half a block from my house. We became friends together. We walked to school together. Time and time again, we walked by the hedge of that beautiful house. Heard somebody moving in that house, in the hedge. I knew who that someone was. It was rocking Ronnie Norris. Now, hear me. Ronnie never bothered me when Jerry was with me. Why? Because my friend was bigger and tougher and stronger than my enemy. Believer, hear me. Thank God if you're saved. You don't have to live rotten and talk rotten. What's your Bible say? Greater is he that's in you, hallelujah, than he that's in the world. You've got all of God's power to help you live and glorify Jesus Christ, and it comes through the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Number one, first of all, help us to function in our daily living. Number two, filling of the Holy Spirit will help us. Number two, friend, in conjunction, here we go, with our Christian homes. Look in your Bible, it's amazing. In verses 18 and 19, he talks about being Spirit-filled. I'm sorry, 18, 19, and 20. Here we go. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's marriage. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. That's marriage. Verse 23, the husband's the head of the wife. That's marriage. Verse 24, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be their own husbands and everything. That's marriage. Husbands, love your wives. That's marriage. My, get it. Get it. All of a sudden, six verses in a row. More than anything else, he talks about the Christian home. Why? What you are in the home is what you really are spiritually. Understand that? Yeah. That's reality, buddy. What you are in the home is what you really are spiritually. Our homes ought to be a place of happiness, but also a place of holiness where we love each other and try to help each other live for God. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit, now watch it carefully, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. Stop right there. Everything it takes to have a happy life is in those verses. Everything it takes to have a happy Christian home is right there in those verses. God never intended our home to be a battlefield. God help us. Amen. I've been in some homes that are screaming and fighting. Nah. God never intended that. God never intended that. The home indirectly is a picture of heaven.
Amen.
Yeah. And your home should be similar to heaven. But God help us, man. Christian homes are out of control. They're out of control. And God help our home to be what it should be for the glory of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That Christ might be magnified, that our lives, instead of being miserable and fighting and complaining and backbiting, ought to be rejoicing and serving Christ. The Christian home is important. The Christian home, my friend, is what we need, and we ought to live and serve Jesus Christ. Years ago, I went to Apopka, Florida, to hold a revival in January. Now, stop right there. I know what you're saying. Yeah, all you evangelists go to Florida in January. Where am I?
Right.
It sure ain't Florida, buddy. I'll tell you that. You know what? In 47 years of evangelism, I've been to Florida twice in January. Most of the time, I come out here in the Wild West, where men are men and women are men. Amen. But I love it out here. I really do. I mean that. I love the West. I do. If I'd been born 100 years earlier, I'd been a murderer or a gangster. But anyway, here we go. Okay. Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible now. Christian home. A Christian home is not going to happen unless both of you are Spirit-filled. Understand? Both. Not one. Both. Not one. Both of you. I mean, look at it again. I've got a better thing to do, but look at this. He talks about being Spirit-filled. 18, 19, 20. 21. Marriage. 22. Marriage. 23. Marriage. 24. Marriage. 25. Marriage. There it is. The key to a happy Christian home is not more attitude. Not more money. Not a bigger house. Not a finer car. The key to a happy Christian home is the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I went down to Florida, as I mentioned, in January. Apopka, Florida. And I arrived in town with the pastor. Brother Mark, he said, follow me. I'll take you where you're staying. We drove 15 miles out in the country. We pulled in the driveway of a house. The house, we're talking 1974. Back then, the house, $450,000. 1974. Loveliest house I've ever been in. We walked inside. He said, Pastor, follow me. We walked down one hallway, five bedrooms and five baths. These are plush rooms. Said our preacher, go down the other way. We walked down the other way. We walked in this huge, huge bedroom. He said, Brother Mark, you're the only one here. This is your room. Now, the great, great bedroom. First time I saw a television with a channel changer was in that thing. A thing with a bed, you push it and change channels. It had an indoor jacuzzi in that bedroom. and a sauna in that bedroom. I said, Pastor, don't worry, I'll be fine. Don't worry about me. Friend, it wasn't heaven, but it was the suburbs. Amen. I'll tell you that right now. She said, Preacher, a few more things I got to show you. We walk down. He opens the door. There's an indoor Olympic-sized swimming pool. He said, now, in your case, I saved the best to last. Come on, follow me. We open the door. We walk in a library. In the library, there are 2,500 books written by great fundamental preachers. I thought, man, what else could you have? I got the jacuzzi, the sauna, the swimming pool. I said, man, it's going to be the greatest week of my life. I've been in the study there, looking at some books. All of a sudden, Brother Hadley said, Joe, get back. Preacher, get back, get back. I stepped back. He said, look, I looked down. There was a snake coiled up. He said, Preacher, whatever you do, don't go near that snake. Can I share something with you? It was not my immediate plans to approach the serpent. I'll tell you that right now. He said, now, Brother Mark, that's called a pygmy diamondback. He said, if it doesn't kill you, you wish it did. Don't go near the snake. I said, okay. Then he said this. You wait here. I'll go in the garage and get something to kill it with. I said, wrong clown. I'm right behind you. Now, we go in the garage. I get a sledgehammer. He gets a crowbar. We come back in. We look everywhere. We can't find the snake. Pretty soon the preacher said, well, Brother Mark, my wife's expecting me for supper. See you tomorrow morning. He gets in the car and drives off in the sunset. I know somewhere in that house there is one snake. It come back to me. I've heard it. You've heard it. Ready? You know what it says. Brother Mark, where you find one, you always find two. Right. They always travel in pairs. What a blessing that was to my heart, friend. I'll do that right now. I went in my bedroom. I looked under the bed, between the mattress and the box springs. I searched that room out. When I got to, I took a towel and stuffed under the door. Then I got up and prayed. But faith, I claim Acts 16. Serpents will bite you, and you shall not die. And I went to bed. Now, this morning I woke up. I got to Sunday school. Pastor told me about the snake. It was a ha ha, yeah, you can get out there, clown, and laugh about it. Okay, anyway, the young couple said, we're taking you to lunch. I said, good. We went out. We went to this restaurant. We're having a wonderful lunch. And I said, how long have you been married? Young man said, almost 2 months. I said, well, congratulations. Where are you going on your honeymoon? He said, Preacher, we don't have any money. Graduated from Bible college. They're kind enough to let us use the MacArthur house where you're staying. Oh, yeah. I said, that was kind, buddy. Yeah, yeah. That's a wonderful place. Jacuzzi and sauna. And we got to, wait, let me tell you something. Brother Mark, he said, whatever you do, don't go near that swimming pool. He said, twice that week, we were going swimming. One time we get in, you know, he said, I saw 4 snakes. By that time, he said, I saw 6 snakes. Said, Preacher, that greenery at the back of that pool is not artificial. It's real greenery. He said, and it's full of snakes. He said, you may not see them. You'll see the evidence of things not seen, but there are mice in that house, and the snakes eat the mice. So whatever you do, don't go near the swimming pool. But I'll tell you something. Absolutely, positively, worst week of my entire life. I dreamt about snakes. I had nightmares about snakes. It was horrible. One night, I woke up about 2 in the morning. I thought I felt something crawling up the back of my right leg. Now, for years you've been taught the rapture is fast. Am I right? Betty, I'll tell you something. I left the rapture in the dust getting out of bed that night. It was horrible. I closed that meeting on Thursday night. After the last amen, I got in the car. I was going back to the home out of hell. I got in the car, drove all the way back to Tawanda, Illinois, at our little 900-room home. No, it was not 900-room, 900-square-foot house. You should have been happy. I should have been. But there was something in that house, and that one thing ruined everything. It happens in Christian homes. Somebody gets away from God. Somebody gets a stinking attitude. Somebody gets their mindset on the things of the world and materialism, and that what should be happy becomes a nightmare. The best home for you and your home, you and your spouse, is what? The filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Number 3. Look at your Bible. The filling of the Holy Spirit gives us unction in the matter of witnessing. Turn your Bible as I close. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Preacher, what does that word unction mean? Acts 1:8 describes it. you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. The filling of the Holy Spirit gives unction. What is that? Number one, boldness to witness. Look at that verse again. Ladies and gentlemen, this is God's Word. Look at it. But you shall, not maybe, not might, you shall receive power. Read further. You shall, not maybe, not might, be witnesses. God is no liar, buddy. A Spirit-filled Christian has the boldness to witness and power when he does witness. If that's what you want, you can have it. You can have it. Not by some course, you have it by the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Every time in the book of Acts, with maybe one exception, remember, they shook the world. Every time in the book of Acts, maybe one exception, but it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Next thing they did was what? Jabber in tongues? No. Jump up and down and holler? No. Every time, what did they do? They went out and witnessed and told somebody how to get saved. You say, preacher, I don't have the personality, and I don't have the gift to get. No, what you don't have is the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. That takes care of everything. That's right. The greatest need of the church, I'll repeat myself, is what? Not money. It's not prestige, people. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. When I was in college, some guy said, hey, so-and-so's preaching at a mission in Minneapolis. Let's drive up. We'll go on the street and give out tracts. He used to do it all the time. It was my first time, okay? We got to Minneapolis. It was really a horrible neighborhood, a rescue mission there. The guy was going to preach at. So I got a handful of gospel tracts. This was not my thing then, believe me. I thought, well, here goes. I prayed. I said, God, help me to give out one tract. Get out of here alive. Amen. I said, man. I got out there. I saw a guy coming down the street. This guy is drunk. He's all over the sidewalk. I thought, maybe this could be the guy. I saw something glitter in his hand. And I realized the guy had a knife in his hand. Now, somehow I felt led of the Lord not to mess with knife, man. I'll tell you that right now. Amen. I prayed for him as he staggered by. That is me. Here comes guy number two. He's covering the sidewalk, too. I went up and said, hey, my friend, I've got something for you. I want to give you a gospel tract. He said, I don't want it. I said, I know you're busy. I said, maybe you can find time to read this. He said, I don't want that blankety blank thing. Get out of here. I said, friend, let me tell you. Will you please take it? God loves you. When I made this statement that bitter cold night, pulled his hands out of his pocket, said, there are no hands. They're two stubs. Say, okay, wise guy, come on, tell me. Tell me God loves me. If God loves me, why are my hands going off in the war? If God's a God of love, why don't I have any hands? Why? Tell me. It had to be the Spirit of God. I said, buddy, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Shame on you. You complain about losing two hands. I said, my dad died in the service. Shame on you. I'll tell you something else, buddy. For your filthy, rotten sin, Jesus Christ hung on Calvary. He didn't lose two hands. He gave his body, his soul, his flesh, his blood, his spirit. Christ gave everything he had for you. Shame on you. The guy just stared at me. Then I saw something. I saw a tear. He said, I'm sorry. I am. But it's tough out here. I said, let me show you who can make it better. I opened my Bible, showed him how to get saved. Standing out there, the man bowed his head, sobbing, weeping, and received Christ as his Savior. That's the first person one-on-one I ever led to Christ. Now wait, why did I do it? Not my personality, not my gift to get. No, one thing, the Spirit of God doing through me what I could never do on my own. That is the purpose of the filling of the Holy Ghost. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking. A Spirit-filled Christian is a speaking Christian. If you're a silent Christian, get Spirit-filled. Let God use you. Come part of the great soul winning of this church. Come part of populating heaven and keeping folk out of hell. And the only one can do that is the Holy Spirit of God as He works in your life. Bow your head for prayer.